Yesterday was the first day of hearings from the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission. It's a year-long investigation into what caused the financial crisis and supposedly how we can avoid such a thing from happening again. Today, the commission will hear from administration officials. Here's the commission's chairman, Phil Angelides, pressing Goldman Sachs' chief executive.
What I'd like to ask you is, can you tell me very specifically what are the two most significant instances of negligent, improper, and bad behavior in which your firm engaged and for which you would apologize?
I think we, in our behavior, got caught up in and participated and therefore contributed to elements of froth in the market.
Joining us now, we welcome back Elizabeth Warren, chairwoman of the Congressional Oversight Panel and the Leo Gottlieb Professor at Harvard Law School. She joins us from the Senate. Good morning.
Good morning.
What were you listening for when you listened to these hearings yesterday? What were you hoping to hear?
I was hoping to hear that these CEOs would say, we really messed this up, and we manipulated markets, and we manipulated consumers. We sold lousy products. We understood that it was not a sustainable market, and we're ready to change our ways. But, that didn't happen.
That did not happen. What we just heard right there was Blank Fine specifically not answering the question of the committee.
Oh, I thought he answered it. You know, he said too much froth. He sounds
froth.
Like a
froth.
He says I was a bad barista.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but that's not acknowledging negligence. He asked him to acknowledge negligence, and he did not do that.
And he didn't do that. Of course he did not do that.
We talked earlier to Peter Solomon. He's the founder and chairman of the independent investment bank Peter J. Solomon Company. And this is what he had to say.
This was a colossal management failure. The firms that really became a debacle, Lehman and Bear Stearns, they were incredibly bad. But even the major banks admitted that they failed in terms of management. One of the things they failed in, they just had too much hubris. They believed that their systems were so sophisticated that they could weather any storm. It turned out they couldn't.
Elizabeth Warren, do you agree? Do you think that the banks have admitted failure of management and that the root cause of all this was hubris?
Now, I think that the banks don't admit it. I think that that's really the problem here. I think the banks say we are the best and brightest. That's why we deserve these gorgeous salaries. We make the American economic engine run. We know everything. And then out of the other side of their mouths, they say, we knew nothing. We didn't understand what was going to be the consequence of selling millions of mortgages to people who didn't qualify for them and were not possibly going to be able to repay them. We had no idea that telling people a product was great and selling it out the front door while we bet against it by short selling it out the back door would cause any problems or might destabilize anything. I mean, I think the bottom line is they'll say whatever they want to say, and I don't think that's admitting that there's something wrong. I think the rest of us can acknowledge that there's a problem with these banks, but the banks haven't done it.
Well, but what's the regulatory takeaway here? This is the thing that I have a real problem with. I mean, it's actually standard operating procedure in finance to make one bet and then make a side bet to hedge your bet, and this is what these guys do all the time. And their argument that, hey, we're okay, so therefore what we did was right, is kind of capitalism 101. How do you regulate them to steer away from those kinds of risks or to do excessive hedging without completely transforming the whole idea of what investment bankers do?
Well, let me answer it actually in two ways, because the other part I want to say is, you know, we're focused on the banks, and boy, I'm glad to focus on the banks. They deserve every ounce of attention you give to them. But let's remember, too, the regulators failed profoundly here. The federal regulators who were responsible for ensuring the safety and soundness of those financial institutions, for monitoring those institutions to make sure that they were not taking on too much risk so that we would avoid this kind of catastrophe, they fell down on the job, and they deserve scrutiny. They need to be hauled in, and we need to figure out what went wrong here, because they failed to enforce the laws that were on the book. And then collectively, we failed to provide more regulators. You know, as this whole industry ballooned, we didn't increase the number of regulators, and we sure didn't increase their pay, even as the people they regulated were making more and more money and, you know, just moving off into more and more complex activities. And we failed to change the law to cover these innovations, these new activities. So we had a profound regulatory failure, and one that is almost as magnificent as the failure of the banking industry itself. It's as if the regulators and the banks held hands while they jumped over the cliff together. So I think there's plenty of blame to go around here. Now, if the question you're asking is it ever possible to regulate? I think the answer is yes. We did it for a very long time. Remember, we went through boom and bust cycles from, starting at 1794, every 10 to 15 years. We'd build a boom and then there'd be a crash and a lot of people would get wiped out. We hit the Great Depression in the 1930s. And the folks who were in government at that point said, we can do better than this. We can put some regulation in place. And we put three basic regulations in place: FDIC insurance to make it safe to put money in banks, Glass-Steagall to say that the banks that take deposits cannot engage in risky trading, and SEC regulations to try to make that market a little more honest. And it served us for more than 50 years. We didn't have a single financial crisis in 50 years. And then what happened? We started deregulating. We started pulling out the threads, and we ended up with the savings and loan debacle. What did we do? We kept deregulating. We ended up with long-term capital management. We kept deregulating.
It was the hedge fund that went out of business, sure.
Exactly. We then end up with Enron, which, remember the lesson from Enron? The books are dirty. They're lying to us in the accounting.
But this
and
argues...
we kept on deregulating. This is in part... the system we build.
But we keep hearing, I've heard from journalists who say that it's too late, that we've missed our chance at reform. And then we hear from politicians that say, no, there's plenty of time. Which is it? Have we missed the opportunity to pass some serious reform?
Look, all I can say is I can't answer the political question. I don't know what it takes to get Washington moving. I'm not a Washington person. I'm a teacher, ultimately. But I can say this. We desperately need reform. If we don't get reform, we're headed back into the boom and bust cycle game. And every, 10 to 15 years, we'll keep playing this game. And part of the world will get richer and richer, and the rest of us will continue to get wiped out.
Elizabeth Warren, chairwoman of the Congressional Oversight Panel, and Leo Gottlieb, professor at Harvard Law School. Thank you very much.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.